How did you come to working on Challengers?
Tashi Duncan,
she's in another league.
I met Luca when I was 25. Hey. He told me, okay, now I give you 10 minutes to edit the scene.
Playing for both of us, Tashi.
I want to know your skills, your editing skills, and your vision, because I need to understand it. So there was no pressure on me, of course. I was so nervous. I was shaking. My hands were shaking on the keyboard.
Welcome back to the Post-Production Club podcast. Today's episode features Marco Costa, who's the editor known for Challengers film that came out this year, featuring Zendaya, and in one of the most viral love triangles of all time. And we've also got my good friend and local cinephile, Tim Warzala.
Hello, I don't know how I got here, but glad to be here.
It's great having you on here, Tim. We just finished having our conversation with Marco. How do you feel like it went?
He's a cool guy and an even cooler movie.
Yeah. Was there anything that like stood out to you as to what he said as far as the making of the film goes and his style of editing?
Totally. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was really interesting how they kind of structured it after a tennis match, which I thought you could really tell. I mean, there's a lot going on, but he kept it A+ with keeping it coherent, keeping it easy to follow. So they did really well. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a complex film in the way that it's edited and told non-linearly. But I, like you said, I think you did a phenomenal job of walking the audience through it. And I love when films don't appeal to the least common denominator as far as like an audience mm-hmm. member goes, is they treat us, you know, an audience, a viewer, very smart, and you actually mm-hmm. have to like think about this film and how it's being told, what its meaning and how to follow the story. I think that invites people into a deeper experience of the film. And
totally,
they could have totally told this story linearly. And the fact that we jump around through time so much, I think, invites a deeper level of critique and experience of the characters and their story.
Yeah, it probably would have been so boring if it was chronological, but instead, we got one of the coolest movies of the year.
For sure. And I don't want to spoil anything else, so let's just hear directly from the man himself.
Let's do it.
Thanks so much for coming on, Marco, today. It's good to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. And it's a great day for me. Really, good. Really exciting, super exciting day.
And congrats on the Eddie nomination and the Critics' Choice nomination.
Thank you. Thank you. Really, wow. When I read my name among those fantastic colleague, you know, because I read Marco Costa and Joe Walker, I said, oh, wow, really? I'm in the same short list with Joe Walker. That means a lot for me, because he is the editor of Dune. He's edited a lot of great movies like Shame and my God. So reading my name in that short list, it means a lot. And especially because it's my first experience in this award season, you know, because before editing Challengers, I work on Bones and All, and Bones and All was my first movie with Luca, because we work on We Are Who We Are, but it was a TV show, and We Are Who We Are was the first project with him. And then so Challengers is actually the second feature film with him, with Luca.
That's so cool. How did you come to meet him? I would love to hear a little bit about how you started as an editor and how you arrived to working on Challengers.
It's a funny story, because I met Luca when I was something like 25. And I was the second assistant editor on Suspiria. So I was working on that project, but just as an assistant. And I spent 8 months on that project, and then I quit. I left the project because I received some job offers to work on a project, but as a main editor. So I prefer to work to edit, to work with the storytelling, even in even for just tiny Italian project. But you know, I wanted to put my hands on the storytelling. He understood completely. So then I started to edit some different and tiny project, Italian project. And then Luca called me back 2 years later because his editor was busy with another project, and so he was looking for someone to assembly, to work with on an assembly, just a rough cut. The first day, I remember Luca, he told me, please don't watch the footage, because we need to watch together, we need to work on it, and I need to know if we speak the same language, if there is a chemistry between us, because you know, it's really an intimate work. The editing, the there is an intimate relationship between the editor and the director, because when you are in the editing room, it looks like the director is naked, because he showed to you his the problem on the set, or maybe what's not working, or maybe because the shape is just rough and you have to craft, you know. So we watched the footage together. And then he told me, okay, now I give you 10 minutes to edit this scene, because I want to know your skills, your editing skills and your vision, because I need to understand it. So there was no pressure on me, of course. I was so nervous. I was shaking. My hands were shaking on the keyboard. But then I showed the sequence to Luca, and he really loved it. But he told me, oh, there is an error, there is a mistake, find the mistake in the scene. And then, but it's really great, because he always find a way to stimulate you, to bring out the best of his collaborator, because really he knows exactly what he wants. At the end of the day, he told me, okay, now you're gonna edit the entire TV show. Believe in the skill of a young guy, because I was 27, so super young, and I was totally scared. I don't know if I'm good or am I able to handle, to manage all this huge project, because there were 8 episodes and an HBO TV show. And then after We Are Rare, he offered me Bones and All and Challengers and Queer and After That. So yeah, there is a really strong relationship between me and Luca, because we speak the same language.
Yeah, that is wild. His method of bringing you into the project and just seeing how well you guys collaborate together.
Yeah, it sounds like he saw something in you, and he just wanted you to bring it out and be able to see it in yourself.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like bringing to you and putting in the water in the sea, and you're not how to swim, you know, and you don't know, you can't swim. So it's like this.
I want to talk about the actual editing of Challengers. Tim, I'd love to toss it over to you, just kind of like as a good place to start on the overall structure.
Yeah, I mean, I love the film, first off, like Evan said. And I think the thing that really feels like more than the sum of its parts to me is just the energy that it brings. It's just so electric. And I feel like when it's over, I'm like, yeah, I can go run a marathon real quick. Like, no big deal. I just feel so pumped up from it, which obviously, besides the score, the editing is the biggest part of that. As far as the structure goes, I think it's kind of like a masterclass in like nonlinear storytelling. Obviously, we are brought into the first scene, which is actually the climax of the movie, But of course, you know, the audience doesn't know any of that. But then just through all these different flashbacks and time skips, and there's a lot. I kept track when we just watched it. There's a lot of them. It keeps revealing what the emotional stakes are and kind of what's at stake for the characters. And so that keeps upping the tension. So even though chronologically we're all over the place, the kind of like tension goes very linearly. My question for you, I was just curious, how did you guys map that out? How did you structure that? Was that found in the edit? Was that all there in the script to begin with? Just like, yeah, how did you guys find that? What was your role?
The structure of the final cut is the quite, actually, maybe it's the almost, it's almost the same of the script. We didn't change a lot because we really found it was working well. It was working very, very, very well for us. So, of course, when we got the first cut of the movie, we edit it according to the script. So, keeping every lines, every scene, even if we were sure that we want to remove some things, but we edit everything because it's part of the process. And then we watch the movie and we realized that the structure was perfect. Of course, we try to move back and move forward some scene to see how it's working. But actually, we worked more on the cards. On the text cards you see on the screen, because we want to be sure that the audience doesn't get lost. I remember when I read the script, my first impression was, okay, it's script like it's written like a tennis match. You know, the structure is a tennis match. There is a lot of back and forth, and my concern was, oh my god, is gonna work or not? We don't know where we are in this moment of the movie because it's not clear enough. But then, thanks to Luca's language, I think you can clearly understand every timeline and every point. If you look at the movie from the top to the end, you can see, you can feel that there is an evolution of the language. There is a progression in the language, and we found that this evolution, we try to find to create this evolution even in the editing, because at the beginning it's like a tennis match, a regular normal tennis match, but then at the second serve there is a couple of quick cuts. That means okay, we are skipping some time. We are preparing something new. We're preparing you to something new, and then the music kicks in, and the camera movement present and introduce this wonderful character of Tashi with a wonderful and extraordinary camera movement. The language changed completely because there is, you know, the camera. Luca brings the camera to the tennis courts, and then the cadency of the cuts, there is a increasing of the cadency of the cuts. There are a lot of quick cuts, and the music is pulsating, and the dance is starting because they're dancing on the court, and the music goes in that direction, and you can feel, you can understand every dynamics between the three characters without saying any lines, because they are not saying anything, because the first line of the three characters is "let's go," the line of Patrick, and then we cut to the bedroom, and the first line of Tashi is "let's go." There is a continuity between the different timeline.
When you're cutting, are you doing it based all on gut instinct and intuition, or are you really having to work at intentionally going through the scene over and over and over again, deciding when to cut?
I really trust in my instincts and my gut feeling, because I know that that cut creates a specific meaning in the audience. You know, and because of the language of the direction was quite interesting and quite clear. It was really unconventional, you know. The way Luca staged the choreography, the tennis, is unusual. It's really atypical. If you have a chance to look at a real tennis play, you know, it's really different from a real tennis match. And even from the other tennis movie, Luca didn't know anything about tennis before working on Challenger. So I think this was really helpful because he bring a new vision of the tennis, because he watched the tennis with the new eyes, fresh eyes. And so we tried to create a lot of shapes, a lot of forms, there is a lot of geometry in the movie, because the movie is based on a triangle form. So let's bring the triangle, let's bring the geometry into the editing. And also, you can see that the tennis court is a form, it's a geometry form. So there's a lot of geometry that we try to create in the editing, especially because we wanted to create a symmetry between the two characters, Art and Patrick, because we intended the tennis net like a mirror, so they reflect themselves in the tennis court, and we create a lot of specular images. You know, sometimes you can see that the movement, that the actions of one character ends the actions of the other characters, complete the action of the other character, because you know, or also you sometimes you can see that they are doing the same actions in two different cuts, because it's even when they are not playing tennis, they are playing tennis. So one hits a ball and the other replies. So we try really to bring this idea into the editing.
I love that. It's so cool, and it's so apparent too, you know. And like you said, you would be going from, you're watching one scene of them physically playing tennis to a conversation, and is very intentionally cut that way.
Yeah, there's just as much energy around the conversations as the tennis itself.
Yeah, because we try to bring the tennis, even the dialogue scene, you know, because there is one scene in the bedroom. The scene where Hart says that he wanna retire to Tashi, you can feel that they are playing tennis with the editing and with the direction of the language of Luca, because you are following the tennis ball, you know, they are replying tam tam, but there is a lot of back and forth. And also, we try to bring the idea of the triangle in some, especially in one dialogue scene, the first scene where Tashi, Art, and Patrick interact. It's in the Adidas party, and if you look at the editing, we decided to start from Art, and then we go through Tashi before cutting on Patrick, because it was too important to create this language. So she's the focus, so never transition to cut to Patrick before go through Tashi. So there is Art. Tashi twice cuts on Tashi because Luca shot with different angle, and then we cut to Patrick. But then, on one specific moment, at a certain moment, we decided to cut from Patrick to Art, because we wanted to create a bridge, an open link, because we wanted to say, okay, guys, we wanted to say, this is a movie based on a triangle where every point are connected. It's not like one directional, it's bidirectional. So every points are linked. There is a connection between every point. Every cut has a meaning.
the idea of the windstorm that's taking place before the, you know, real climactic end scene, I love it as an idea for bringing in tension. And I think utilizing like storm in the pending storm is really strong. Mm-hmm. The wind was a big part of that, to the degree that it's really in your face. It's not subtle at all. And so I wanted to kind of hear a little bit about like your guys's maybe decision to focus on that a lot in the edit and to bring that into the concept overall.
Yeah. Of course, it was intentional, the wind, and the wind is a theme so important for the filmography of Luca. There is always a lot of wind in a specific scene, because I really don't want to explain the meaning of the wind, because it's funny to... I don't like to explain a lot of meanings, because everyone can create meanings of images that we see on the screen. But I like the idea that they are like in a twister of emotion, of feelings. You know, Dante that put Paolo e Francesca in the hell, and their soul are are twisted by this wind, because they fell in love together when they were alive, but it was a relationship, adultery. They were other relationship with other people, so they couldn't do that. So, I don't know. I really like the way Luca staged choreography the wind. It's so important. And of course, then we have a lot of problem in the sound for the sound department, because when you shoot this sequence, and you have to bring on set these huge fans and start and this annoying noise for over the production side.
So a lot of ADR having to happen.
But we are lucky, because our dialogue editor is a wonderful dialogue editor, and is so skilled, and he saved a lot of things, because Luca always prefer the performance on set. But sometimes we need to ADR things, of course.
And then that POV tennis ball and VFX sequence, what was it like to edit that? Was it purely just, hey, providing plates and then letting the VFX editors like have fun with it? Did you have any stitching? Like, was that pretty complex? Or yeah, what was that like working in that sequence?
Actually, the first day I went to Boston, because we shot the movie in Boston, and I was editing there. Luca showed me this preview of the POV Be the Ball, with a really rough and brutal and horrible, of course, 3DI animation. But it was like this. It was like the final shot. I mean, that means he worked a lot with the visual effects team before the shooting on that shot, because he gave every note. He gave them the every camera movement, you know, the timing, everything was. And then they shot the sequence on the tennis court, and they shot different pieces, you know, the ball from here to here, and then from here to here, and then they put it together, they merge into one shot. And of course, this shot took a lot of time to work. So I edited with the brutal, rough animation until I got the final, better improvement of the shot from the visual effects team.
Well, yeah, it sounds like everything we saw on screen from the sounds of it is what was in the script to begin with. But just out of the sake of curiosity, any sex scenes that we didn't get to see that were left on the cutting room floor?
No. Every sex scene that was in the script now is in the cut, in the final cut. So we removed just one scene, actually, from the first cut. Really, it was really, really similar to the script. And we removed just one scene that for us wasn't essential. It was just a scene with Patrick.
That is a tight script to only lose one scene in that.
Yeah.
You mentioned how Luca had never watched tennis before, which I find really interesting. To me, another thing I've found interesting about the movie is just like what it's not as much as what it is. So yeah, it's like a tennis movie, but it's not really a sports movie. It's got a love triangle, but I'm not really rooting for any of the relationships. So I'm just curious, like, what did you have to put into it in order to kind of skirt around like a more conventional genre movie? Was that a conscious choice you were making?
We never intended Challengers like a sport movie. We know that there is a lot of sport in this movie, but we never intended Challengers like as a sport movie, because I still remember when I read the script, I said to Luca, wow, this is a tennis movie. Wow, I love tennis. But he told me, my movie is not about tennis, it's about people. So that was so important, because the dynamics between the two characters was the main topic, okay? We had to be focused on the characters, not on the tennis, because this is not a movie about a story of a great tennis player, you know, and it's not a biopic. This is a movie about a triangle, but it's in a love triangle, and it's not it's a really atypical, because you expect to see a movie where two boys are in competition to get the love of the third character, the love of the girl. But this is not a movie. So it's great, because you expect it to go in one direction, and then the movie opens new path, opens new streets, you know? It was too important to be focused on the characters and the dynamics and the emotional flow of the character.
What movies inspired your cutting style for Challengers?
It's funny, because he never gave me a reference. I didn't prepare myself watching tennis movie, because I didn't want it to be influenced in any way. So let's be focused on the script. I knew that Luca wanted to be to do something new, because it's typical of Luca, you know, find a new way, find a new language, you know. It's like a pathfinder. When I watched the movie, the dailies, the footage, and I received the first couple of days, and I watched the tennis sequence footage, I realized that really it was there was a strong idea of dance behind the way Luca choreographed the tennis. So I decided to rewatch again Cabaret, because by Bob Fosse, because there is a lot of dance in this movie, in Challenger. So that was one of my reference for the editing. I really took a lot of inspiration from the Cabaret, and especially for the dancing. Because also in Cabaret, you can see that there are a few incredibly wonderful shots, but he decided to use just one time and for a couple of seconds and no more, for a couple of frames. And we did like this also in the finale. You know, this wonderful shot of the tennis glass court, you know, the shot from below. We use it just two or three times and for a couple of seconds, no more, because it was too important to... it was the climax of the movie and the language. And yes, and the other thing, because I really like to tell the story, it's the other reference Luca gave me was a picture of a building. That was the reference Luca gave me for the editing. And Luca told me, okay, you show me a picture of a building designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. And he told me, okay, I want my movie edited like this. That was the reference Luca gave me. But actually, if it's a building designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, and the name is I don't remember, waterfall or something like that, and if you have a chance to look at this picture, really you can understand what Luca meant, because Luca was what he was trying to say. Because you can see the shape, you can see the geometry, and you can see the different layers in that building, and the way Luca bring out the best of his collaborator is fantastic. Mm-hmm. He knows how to bring out the best of his collaborator. He really knows, because he knows how to stimulate you creatively.
That is so cool. And what did you do when you got that image?
I said, what, Luca? What are you saying? Well, actually, I understood because, you know, I told him, for wow. Because I even when he wasn't in the editing room, I looked back at the picture, because it was really interesting. And he told me, I want a modernist editing, because this is a modernist architecture.
And I think you did it.
Yeah.
Comes through, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
What advice would you give to other editors that are trying to break into the industry at this level and are wanting to tell stories at the level that you're telling them at?
I recommend them to watch a lot of movies, because it's the best way to understand the language and the cinema is to watch a lot of movies, and watch good movies, of course. But I think I like to watch even bad movies, because you can understand a lot from them. Because, you know...
What not to do.
Yeah, but it's not so... I think it's really, really tricky and a challenge to edit a bad movie. You know, because when you have a bad footage, a really, okay, this is not working. Oh my God, how can you make it work? But I like to watch even bad movies, and I recommend it. Yeah, and to edit a lot, everything. Fortunately, to edit now, we need just a laptop, you know, because our generation grew up with YouTube. So I learned by myself how to use Avid, Media Composer, how to use Premiere Pro, because there is a lot of tutorial. There is a tutorial for everything. So no one can teach you how to use the software. It's more important. And also, no one can teach you how to do cinema, because the only one who can say to you how to do cinema is the cinema itself, because you have to watch the great director like Bernardo Bertolucci, Rossellini. You know, this is the cinema that you have to understand. You have to bring inside of you.
What is a good movie and what is a bad movie in your opinion?
Oh my God, this I that movie, I don't know, actually. I don't want to answer to this question. But for me, the best movie of the last year was Last Summer by Catherine Breillat. That one was wonderful. You can feel the real cinema, because it was really a small budget movie. Even I think the budget was less than 1 million, but this is so intense. And the way she staged the love from the dynamics, the emotion, wow. I really was impressed, by her direction.
Like, how did you get linked up with Luca? And I'm just kind of like thinking through the lens of an editor that's wanting to work on movies on this level. The industry's changing a lot as far as what gets made, what doesn't get made, how you work on stuff, and what's available to be worked on. Do you go to LA? Do you go to New York? What kind of advice would you share there?
I was lucky. I've been lucky because Luca is like a shield for me, you know, and he protected me a lot because, because an editor, you don't know, because of course, when a producer met me for the first time, maybe, who is this guy? Where's this young guy? Oh, is the editor serious? Or where is the editor? When is coming the editor, If I know, I'm the editor. So, but fortunately, Luca was, he protected me a lot. And then I've been lucky because I met wonderful people like Amy Pascal and Rachel O'Connor and Zendaya. So they produce this movie and they really trust me. And actually they loved my work and we spent a lot of time in the editing room together because Luca is really open and is happy to invite people in the editing room. And so it's completely fine with me. So yeah, and my workflow changed a lot. So I've been very lucky. So I don't know how often it happens because I don't know. So how can I... What kind of advice can I give you? Because my situation is very atypical because there is a strong author like Luca in this case. So everyone loves him and everyone respects him.
It's cool to hear someone like him really take you under his wing a bit and get you into these rooms. And then you rise to the challenge and you show like that you have what it takes.
Yeah.
Well, congrats again on the nominations. It's well-deserved. Marco, you're an awesome guy and an incredible editor and really excited to keep up and see the rest of your projects as you continue to work and make awesome stuff.
Thank you. Thank you for the lovely chat.
Thanks, Marco.
Thank you, guys.